This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Join us Sunday, July 14th. The 7th Annual Tigers Minor League Report MLB Draft Show, hosted by Chris Brown and Rogelio Castillo, with special guest Matt Broder of Woodward Sports and Locked On Tigers host Scott Bentley. Who will the Tigers draft at pick number 11? Will the Tigers pick cause further frustration on waiting for the future? Show will be starting at 7 o'clock and will be going live until 9:30. Tune in on the Tigers Minor League Report YouTube channel on Sunday, July 14th for all the draft coverage and more. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel today.
So, that being said, let's get on to what happened in Toledo. And Chris, you looked amused there for a moment.
Oh, just checking Twitter while I was waiting there. Toledo, rough week against I've talked before about like Kansas City doesn't have a great farm system, but they're playing well in AAA. I believe Omaha is the Kansas City farm system right?
Yeah.
Yep. They really put it to Toledo this week, unfortunately. But, you saw some the usual stuff from Jace Young, a bunch of power, a bunch of walks, kind of what you're used to lately. You know, one of the things we've talked about a bunch about that end zone swing and miss rate, somebody in the Discord asked, have we been able to track that month over month? So I looked it up, and it was 29% end zone whiff in March and April, and it's been down to 20% the last couple months. So that's good progress there. The only issue is that he is getting fewer and fewer pitches in the zone now. Pitchers like, hey, don't throw it in the zone. So they're trying to get him to chase. So that's, I think, explains a lot of the walks. He was a big producer down there. Torque kind of continues to struggle against velocity. He's a couple hits against 93 mile an hour plus now, but still, and he's not seen a ton of it. It's probably, one third as much as you'd see in the big leagues, but still not doing a whole lot against it. So still waiting for progress there.
Yeah. I there's one thing I watched Omaha, by the way. Omaha doesn't really have, as far as prospects go, they have maybe a couple. I don't even think they have a top, like, it's majority of their guys are in double A, so that they're doing anything well. But the biggest thing I noticed too, like, the reason why I was bringing up Andrew Navigato, I know Brandon, please don't kill me about this, but
no, it's fine. I just, yeah. We're all doing the same, job of like trying to cool people off.
And look, I'm saying this because I see what they have with them just to give him an opportunity. That's all that it is to it. That's it.
Yeah,
nothing more. He's not the Tigers' shortstop of the future or anything like that. Just the numbers indicate that at least there's something to be said there. It's more of the advanced metrics there. They can sit there and say, okay, well, you can work with something like that too. But before we get to the pitching, I did want to answer Tyler's question about how much of a leash do we give Scott Harris? A lot of people are saying he has to go already, which is fully 100% bullshit. I mean, if you're saying that already, and not to sound like an elitist, but what the hell are you doing? This is like, you're going to give this guy that much short period of time. I don't know, but I would suggest, like, this way. If he doesn't show any type of progress, if the Tigers are not at least in 90 win contention next year, yeah, then next year he's on the hot seat. And you have to, like, this year, the way, depending on how the season ends, if the season ends on a high note and the Tigers win that 77, 78 games and they have a couple of things they can go, okay, well, we made progress here, here, and here. Okay, cool. But if they made no progress, then next year is going to be under a very, he should get a lot more crap.
3 years seems pretty good to at least like kind of be threatening as a contender. Yeah. Because it's not like they started off with nothing. You know, he didn't collect any of these players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to say he would have 4 full years. So you've got this year and the next two. And if nothing has happened by the fourth year, then it's probably time to move on. Now, it depends on how you define, you know, something happening. If they're, you know, if at the end of 2026, they're like an 85-win team, but they also still have like a top five farm system again, and like things are looking up and they're developing, and then you might keep them around. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't say we're at like a tipping point or whatever. This is, we're just coming up on his second draft.
Right.
So you gotta give him a little more time.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, I understand the frustration, but as Al Avila got what, 7 years? And that was, he had the benefit of competing or trying for 2 years and then tearing it all down in the middle and then, you know, going for another 4 or 5. So, you know, I guess it was more like 6 years, whatever it.
Yeah. That's true. But we also couldn't tolerate that again because.
Yeah, no, I don't think
that was terrible. And he did nothing for most of that time, you know, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the big thing there was it looked like they had taken that step forward. And so then they spent, and then they were completely wrong. And now you're saddled with Javi Baez, and you gotta, that's the thing. Like, you just have to make the right decisions. Doesn't necessarily mean spending money. You can, that people want that helps, but you can build teams in a bunch of different ways. You just have to make a bunch of good decisions.
Yeah.
And those haven't seemed to have been there yet.
Yeah. I mean, we can look around the league at like front offices that have money to spend and ones that don't, that are both successful. And I just think it always comes back to, you know, they win more trades than they lose. You know, they're building their organization well. So those are the two things that maybe we'll see Scott Harris do and will take time to play out. But all those teams put together a good bullpen every year. They don't wait when something's not going well with the bullpen. They get help and they put together a bench. You know, it's those marginal things that you can control every year that don't require long-term investment or, you know, trading high-end prospects or any of that type of stuff, that he's got to at least prove he's successful at before I'm going to be real interested in giving him, like, you know, a longer leash. And of course, no one cares what I think. Chris Illich's timetable might be way longer than ours is. You know, Chris Illich might be waiting until he's 85, like his dad did, before he finally starts taking this dang thing seriously. But, you know, from the moment I started like screaming at them to replace Osmus with Gabe Kapler, just so that he could build the player development system as the manager of the team, whatever it takes to get some, you know, these people in here, they didn't do any of that stuff. And it just took so long before they finally realized that they didn't have the solutions internally. And I don't want to wait again, you know, 5 or 6 years until we're like, oh, well, this isn't working out. You know,
well,
you need to see signs of it working out by next year, at least signs of it working, you know?
Well, what you're seeing now is you're seeing things like that pop up. Like we got invited. I got invited to Tigers Therapy Spaces on Twitter. And so props to at Lane Detroit, and he's got a couple of people that co-host that. And the vet, like, at first I was, I'll be honest, at first I was like, oh man, what is the venting about? And then I heard it and I was sitting there listening to it. I'm like, okay, you know what? Not just a giant bitch session. It's just, they bring up some good points. And so that is a result of why people perhaps are thinking about Scott Harris in that regard. Some of it is kind of like, hey, you know, like, okay, pump the brakes a little bit, but some of it's like, you can't argue the logic a little. You can't argue it. Fans have a right to be frustrated, because I think it's also a generational thing where a lot of Tiger fans, younger Tiger fans, have seen the Tigers nothing but good. And for me, this is just another bad stretch of baseball. I mean, for people in the chat, Sean can remember this. Watching the Tigers in the 90s is still the most god-awful stretch of baseball I've ever seen in my life. The Tigers... between, I think probably since during the Buddy Bell period until that 2004-05 team, That's some of the worst baseball I've ever seen. Some of the, I mean, just god awful. Just nothing to look forward to. Pitching staffs are just like Scott Sanders. Who the hell is it? Like, just some of these guys are, you know, but
there was one guy who was not watching that crap.
Yeah,
that is me.
you were playing in bands, you were doing all sorts of cool stuff, and
I was, you know, the strike really killed it for me, honestly. Like, I was already like, oh, you know, sports are just packed with roids and it's all just scumbag billionaires running everything, blah, blah, blah. And then everything just got confirmed and I was out. I didn't really come back until, 2005 or so, when I started getting interested, just because the team had been so bad with Alan Trammell, my childhood hero. And that was actually what brought me back. And I just stumbled in right in time for 2006.
Yeah, you lucky, you know. That was, that's most of my childhood, Walter. Just to get an indication, I graduated in 1999.
Yeah.
That's any indication of how much bad baseball I had to watch.
I loved the early 90s offenses, right? But the pitching was brutal. Sure. Now, I will just one other thing I'll say is there is something to be said for continuity in allowing you to really get your whole system set up. One of the things we see in the minors constantly is Cleveland is just good. All their affiliates are good every year. Columbus isn't great this year, but they play exactly the same way all throughout the minors. They have an organizational philosophy, and it's just at every level. Lake County just won the Midwest League.
Akron
is about to, you know, they're I think second right now. Yeah. They play good defense. They put pressure on opposing pitchers. They work, you know, they don't strike out a lot. They walk a lot. It's, you know, like we talked before, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that they took so many high school players in the draft last year. I think that they want to build this thing in their kind of their ideal image, and it sucks, but it might take a while. Although when players pop, like Kevin McGonigal appears to be, they can move pretty quickly because, you know, the good ones move fast. So I don't know. I think another 2 years at least before the axe falls.
Yeah, I might even go longer as far as the axe falling, but I just think that things get real hot next year if they're this team again and they just finish, 78 win team again, you know, don't really make any moves again this offseason. At least I hope people will freak out, because I guess if you're trying to figure out, like, where's the pressure going to come from? It doesn't seem like it's going to come from Chris Illich. You know, the fans can only do so much without just, like, abandoning a team, which a lot of people are, you know, kind of like getting into the mindset of like having to do again after trying to come back for, you know, post COVID for, okay, here's this rebuild that we spent all this time on. And then, you know, to find that, you know, most of the best players were not the top picks, and, you know, all that time tanking was pointless. If they had just built a good organization from the start and made that their emphasis, they'd probably be further along. You know, we've watched it all play out, watched all that stuff play out. And I don't know where there's any pressure, but I do feel like they've got to do something, you know. This year may not be the time, because right now, you know, they kind of squandered a lot of good health. You know, the first 2 months of the season, they probably should have won more games than they did. And that largely comes down to the bullpen falling apart. And now you got injuries. Now you got Carpenter's out, you know, losing Hobbies, obviously just a wash, whatever, but, you know, you're missing Carpenter's bat, and that hurts them. And unless they can hold it together and keep it pretty close to 500 through the All-Star break, I would assume, you know, we're pretty well cooked. And they'll trade everybody, and then they'll probably have a really good final 2 months of the season. It won't surprise me a bit if they do a lot of what they did last year. It's going to be really frustrating, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I'm trying to get to Erie, but my computer has decided to have the circle of death right now currently. So I'm trying to get back into the presentation mode, and it's taking me a minute, so I apologize for that.
Well, we can tell you that was a real rough week for Erie. I don't know if we wanted to touch on any of the pitchers in Toledo. There wasn't anything that was, you know, terribly. Kider Montero made two starts and gave up a ton of hits. I swear, every time you go and check on the you know, the game day app, and his strikeouts are perfectly located pitches, and the hits are just dead over the heart of the plate, and it's like, it's super frustrating. It's like,
I looked through all the walks over the weekend too, and they were all legit walks, of course, you know. So yeah, there's no way out.
He's you know, he still hasn't, I think, gone five innings in any start. It's kind of wild, but I didn't think Herder had one of those 30 pitch innings, so he was out after two-thirds of an inning.
Wasn't a whole lot to talk about, really.
They used Lockhart out of the bullpen. Manning, I think, gave up four runs, but struck out seven.
Yeah, but he still gave up like seven or eight hits too, you know, just like.
Yep.
I think it's over there. It's over for me anyway. I took myself off the bandwagon conductorship last year, and I'm not seeing it happening. So,
but yeah, so in Erie, you know, they go out and they're right in the thick of the playoff race. They go to Altoona, the worst team in their division. Altoona took 4-6 from them in Erie a couple weeks ago, and they go and do it again in Altoona. The offense just kind of disappears outside of Haiyu Lee. Nobody did anything. And, you know, the pitching was solid, but again, it was the offense and their bullpen kind of collapsed at times.
Yeah. You know, the
Seawolves bullpen was not good this weekend in particular. Yeah. No.
Yeah, well, you know, the irony was the game, I think it was Sunday or Saturday. Guess who hit the game winning home run for Altoona? Brandon Effing Dixon.
I think it's a different guy, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Well, I don't know. Is it different guy?
I thought Brandon Dixon retired. I thought it was.
I thought so too, but I don't know.
Let me see. I'm checking.
But it was funny.
I thought it was Brendan Dixon.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, either way, it's still ironic. It's the same. Yeah. You know, they're not the same, but the same name. But just anyway, it's just also because they did. The reason why I thought it might be Brandon Dixon is because Dustin Peterson plays on that team. And that guy was on the 20-man roster not too long ago.
Right. It's annoying because they've got all those they've got a bunch of veteran guys there. They kind of stacked it because they don't have the prospects. But
classic Altoona.
Brendan Dixon, but it's even more annoying because he was only hitting 202. That was a game they gave up seven runs in the final two innings to lose 10-7 or something like that. 10-8. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're down two games out with six games to play. They're at Somerset. The Yankees usually have a very good Double A team. I don't think they're great this year, but it's a tall order for them to get in the playoffs again. There you go.
Yeah, they need to win like five or six probably.
No.
Yeah, and there's one thing. I mean, thankfully, you don't have to run into Garrett Cole, who's going to be coming back, I believe, this week. Yeah. So, I will say, I do like what I'm seeing from Wilkill Hernandez. He's been pitching better as of late. Same thing with Melton, who sounds like he's been kind of being able to figure it out a little bit. But the lefty,
PJ Poulin?
Yeah, PJ Poulin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right under 0.50.
Yeah,
he's been really good. Yeah,
he's an interesting one for sure. I'd be curious if he gets bumped up. Maybe they bring Magno back down because he hasn't been pitching terribly well in Toledo, unfortunately.
Later with the comment of the night, though, and I do like what he said right here. I mean, he said, "This is what Scott Harris was brought here to do. 500 is what Chris Ilitch wants. That is the goal." So he's pulling, in other words, Jerry Reinsdorf.
I guess we can say that it just. You'd like to think that Chris Ilitch has at least a little bit of business sense and knows that if you have a good team, more people come and you make more money. But
yeah, they want to win. They just don't want to spend any money.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's not like they're not trying or that they don't care. I'm sure, you know, Scott Harris and, Jeff Greenberg coming up under Theo, like these are all competitive people. They want to win. But, you know, I can't argue with Larry that, you know, Chris Ilitch probably is content to just as long as the park is filled, you know, as long as we're selling tickets and things are going okay, I don't really care. And that's probably for the best. You know, Mike Ilitch didn't do Dave Dombrowski any favors with his meddling, you know, just like cut the checks and shut up.
So
we'll see. But I understand, you know, that idea about it too, that, you know, Scott Harris is some kind of plant, you know, brought here to this. But, you know, that's just not the way this works. You know, like everybody wants to do well in their job. Everybody wants to win. It's just that Chris Ilitch isn't going to put any additional resources into it beyond what there is. And, you know, whether they can do anything as is in those conditions, I don't know.
As far as if Haiyu Lee is the real deal, I think he is. By far, I mean, I think there's one thing that I've noticed about him is that he's always had his bat is a lot quicker than it was advertised.
Yeah.
And as far as like just making really good hard contact, it was trying to get some data for the guys too. It's a lot of stuff was over 100 plus.
And he adjusts, he can, if he's set up to hit something inside, he can still drive the ball to the opposite field. You know, we've seen him pull pitches that are on the outer edge, you know, he just seems to be in a really good hitting position and to have a pretty good idea what he's trying to do and what the pitcher is trying to do all the time. And he's super young. He's still really young. You know, he's not much older than he's like 3 months older than Roberto Campos, and he's dominating, you know, the Eastern League. So, you know, I assume there will be some struggles at some point, and, you know, maybe they'll move him up to Toledo at the midseason here. I think they should. And I could see him, you know, maybe having some trouble there, maybe having to adjust, but he looks to me like he's on a pretty quick trajectory to get to Detroit by next year.
Yeah. Yeah. He's,
I don't know where you're going to play him, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, he just is an aggressive player. Like, I think he plays kind of a, not necessarily like a red ass, but like he's taking extra bases. He's busting it out of the box every time. Like there's a lot to like there. I don't know if there's any like true plus tool. He's certainly hitting for plus power right now. I compared him to Isak Paredes in Double A because they're kind of the same body types and you know, pull power and stuff like that. But he's hitting for a lot more power than Paredes did in Double A. Paredes was just elite with making contact. It was like a 4% swinging strike rate, and Julius is like 11%.
Yeah.
But you know, you take the power right now if he can get to it. And yeah,
I mean, Paredes wasn't as aggressive, obviously, at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, there's a lot to like there. I think he could be a perfectly competent second baseman. I do like we talked about it before. You know, it's a bit stretched at third base just because of the way I think he has to kind of like amp up to throw. But I would try him. I think he's a better candidate for third base than Young.
Yeah, yeah, so. I will say that. He does have the least lateral movement to do that, but he does have to wind it up a little bit to throw. He's just a little wild on there when he throws the ball. And there's one thing, Chris, I wanted to mention before I forget is that he did say that one of the things he worked on in the offseason when we talked to Lee is running, being more aggressive and running with more balance because he felt like he was off balance. He ran last year out of control, which led to his, he was talking about how it kind of led to his injury a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's probably some conditioning element to that too, you know, yeah. Like you take changes in conditioning, not that he's not working at it or anything.
Yeah, it's been one of the very good stories in the system this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
So. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, not much else with that offense down there. You know, we thought maybe Workman had a breakthrough. No, that we're going on a 40-game stretch here, hitting under 200.
Yeah, Trey Cruz still looks like he might be a useful 26-man someday, but not an impact player ever. So yeah, there's not a whole lot else meat on the bone here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the you know, Sam saying that Cruz looks like a legit shortstop now is the only thing that's kind of perking my ears up. From last week. Other than that, yeah, I mean, it's he and Workman are just they're just too inconsistent. They can get really really hot, and then it goes away for months at a time.
Yeah, and you really have to break down like who they're hitting, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So yeah, we were down in West Michigan on Saturday. It was good to see Dan and Nate out there, and Emily Walden was out there too. So it was, Emily was doing an article on. She's out there for Ham as well. We saw John too, John Moore, who we've talked to a couple times. Shout out to John, coming by. And but yeah, West Michigan was in this game until the eighth inning, and then Wisconsin decided to flex, and they flexed big time, and they were hitting the ball like just it was a grand slam in the eighth or ninth. It was the rehab. It was the difference. Of course, we talked about Crouch getting ejected earlier, but Jaden Ham. Weak contact, and he did again pitch well against an extremely talented team. Was able to keep I don't want to say he single-handedly kept the team in the game, but he basically did. He did say that. There wasn't a lot of hard hit contact. I think it was Soretti hit a ball to right. I can't remember, or was it Soretti or I think it was Soretti hit a ball to right. Beyond that, there was not a lot of hard contact. He has been playing center, like as Chris mentioned here in the slides here. WRC plus 116 from Graham. He's been playing some center field, but beyond that, we still have no word on Pacheco or Jenkins is what's going on with him. And didn't Gold have an error too, Chris?
I don't think he had an error. Anderson had what I consider an error, but was ruled a hit. Six of Ham's hits were infield hits that probably shouldn't have been that a big league defense makes the play. Max Anderson, I don't know, man. He didn't look good on defense. He's kind of has the same sort of foot speed as Jace Young, but was also like So it took him a while to get a ball up the middle and then rush to throw because he had to. And it was like 10 feet wide of first base. It didn't look great.
No. We'd already thought of him as a first baseman, but he's not going to hit, enough to do that either.
Yeah. It didn't look great. We didn't see a ton of, good at bats at all. I think they had 4 hits in the game we saw, right? It was Stevenson had a kind of a line drive single up the middle.
He and Johnson were on base a few times, but they couldn't get anything going.
Yeah. And Graham had a double, I think, but yeah, it's just, we talked, Raj mentioned earlier, there's nobody on that team that was hitting over 250 in that lineup. I mean, Campos had the day off and he had a kind of a week off, if you will. It was a rough week for him. So it's just tough. There's not many bats down there, and the guys that were kind of carrying the offense are all hurt.
Yeah.
They didn't put Turney on the 60-day IL, which is good news, I guess, but he hasn't played in like 3 weeks. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, we were there to see Ham, and he didn't disappoint. I don't think he had his very best stuff. He was, and again, the ump was bad. He missed
terrible.
At least half a dozen calls in the corners. But Ham was really working the fastball up, and then he would drop the curveball at the top of the zone, and the Wisconsin hitters couldn't do much against it. I don't know how successful that will be in other levels, but yeah, his slider and changeup weren't really working for him. So still, he kept him in it, like Raj said. It was a pretty impressive outing. He fought through, I think, the fourth inning and then came back, and it was like a 8-pitch fifth, something like that. So
yeah, there was
third and fourth.
It was a very efficient, I mean, in terms of like getting, it wasn't like he gutted through it. I thought he did a pretty good job of getting himself out of trouble. But yeah, I'm sorry. It's one of those things where it was brutal. No other bones would say, and I felt like Dan, I know Dan was like, hey, where have you guys been out here for a while? And outside of circumstances beyond our control.
You're like, you got nobody. I want to see Danny. Yeah.
No, it was, by the way, the human cannibal is fantastic. The after the post game fireworks and all that stuff, Dan was mentioning, he goes, you know, Roger, it looks a lot harder. And when I looked at it afterwards, I was thinking, like, yeah, that is. I wouldn't be able to have the balls to shoot myself out of a can.
Yeah, I wanted that human cannonball to come from center field, but he came just outside, just past second base. Still, it's like 180 feet shooting through the air. I give him credit for doing that. But the minor league,
but also some other attributes. Like insanity.
It's an interesting setup too, man, because they have like 6 giant poles that are wobbly as hell within that, and they're all like kind of braced with trucks.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's going on here?
You're at the carnival ride with your first little like 11-year-old girlfriend, and you notice like some screw is loose on the Ferris wheel or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was too. Because it took like 10 guys to put up the poles, right? So they're putting up the poles, and like the poles like barely like staying supportive, and then like just some big promo guy or ground screw guy just comes up. And even the guy who does the entertainment, Andy had to come on and help out. So, but on the front here, what's up, Brandon?
Okay. We got a bunch of Peyton Graham chat. So there's just not a whole lot to say. Peyton Graham is 23. He was the second round pick in 2022 when they took Chase Young. He barely played kind of last year because of a bunch of oblique injuries. So I was still like kind of curious to see what would happen. He's like, he's twitchy. He's fast. He has power for being like a skinny little beanpole like I used to be. And, he has like all the physical ability to play shortstop. And so he's going to remain like at least vaguely interesting, but he hasn't hit at all. And he's an absolute wild man at shortstop who might, throw it into the third row and then make like the best diving play you'll see in weeks, and then throw another one away. I don't know. It's just abject chaos with him right now. I don't really, I don't see a whole lot of control or him, necessarily improving that much. He's got really good plate discipline for that level, but there's still a lot of swing and miss, and he hasn't been able to get to any of the power. He's probably going to get like another year, but he's basically rapidly moving into like workman type territory where it's like, oh, he's there's all these athletic skills and there's some tools that we like, but there's no sign of him putting it together. Okay, on to Lakeland. Let's go.
Yeah. By the way, there's, before we move on to Lakeland though, there's one thing. Okay. There's one thing I do want to address in something. It just dawned on me on something. So the actor who played Moonlight Graham, Frank Whaley, who was in Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Frank Whaley.
I think his name
he played the younger.
Also, Robbie Krieger from the Doors.
Yeah. Oh yeah, good call. I forgot about that.
He was in that movie with Jennifer Connelly where they were trapped in Target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
John Hughes.
Yeah, that was John Hughes movie. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let me ask you guys a question here because now I have to do it because I'm just committed to the cause here. All right. So I'm gonna put this up right now.
You never meant to get things all messed up with Mr. Wallace. Okay,
sorry. what did he say? He goes,
say what again?
You say no. He goes, I didn't catch your name. My name is Pip.
You're not getting out of this.
Yeah, you're not getting out of this. Is it? Yeah. So anyway,
paraphrasing for profanity and clarity.
Yeah. we can't really. It's not safe to say. What was it? But anyway, so I'm gonna post a picture in here of. I'm delaying for time because I was trying to find this. Okay. This is.
Oh.
Okay, that's Frank Whaley playing Moonlight Graham. All right. Yeah. So now let's go to Peyton Graham.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, you're right.
Dude, Peyton Graham looks like young Moonlight Graham. He
looks exactly like him.
Yeah. Like, hold on. Let me. So you can't see this there.
I know. I'm just playing. Yeah, he does look a lot like him. Same build.
Chris?
Yeah. Oh, he didn't pop up for me for a while. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're two skinny white guys.
All right, anyway, all right, sorry, I started wasting everybody's time. Everybody
ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, better get 30, better get 20, 20, 20, better get 20, 20, better get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time on that one.
All right, I want to go watch Pulp Fiction right now. Okay, anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
So Kevin McGonagall is human. He came down for 20, but it's okay. I mean, they control their own destiny, and they are just a half a game up of Clearwater, and they play at Bradenton this week. So this is gonna be a good series for them to clinch the first half of. Max Clark, I saw a stat. This I think it says May 1st is hitting over 300. WRC plus over 120, something to that effect.
Yeah.
The Valencia Brookman combo. That sounds like definitely sounds like a your future backcourt. They're doing pretty well. And Patrick Lee, who they signed last month, is that right, Chris?
Yeah, out of the Frontier League, I think.
Yeah, center fielder.
Yeah, looks like he's starting to settle in a little bit nicely.
He is. He's been a nice addition for them. He's really fast. He's a quality defender, and he's putting together good plate appearances now, so that was nice to see.
Some good starting pitching from the Flying Tigers, although I was concerned that Castillo did not play, so hopefully everything's okay with that.
It was a very weird week. We kind of hinted at it last week about weather.
They got rained out five.
Yeah. Tuesday was rained out. Yeah. The scheduled doubleheader on Wednesday was rained out. The doubleheader on Thursday was rained out. So then they played an actual doubleheader on Friday, one game on Saturday, and a doubleheader on Sunday.
Yeah.
They had to pull out the two games on Sunday to stay in first place, which was kind of impressive. But three games left now, I believe, in the first half for them to clinch this. And as we were talking about before, like, we think that they're keeping these guys together for this. So if McGonagall and Clark are going to move up, or one of them is going to move up, it wouldn't be a shock if it happens in the next week or so.
Yeah,
maybe 2 weeks. But even with McGonagall's like down week, he had a down week last week too, but it's not like suddenly he's striking out a bunch. It's just,
yeah, he wasn't striking out. He just popped a few balls up more than normal.
Pop ups or ground balls to the wrong spot. He's still yoking the ball. Like when he had a couple 106 mile an hour liners the other day, and then that home run later, it was, it's fun to watch. And honestly, you know, every time I start feeling a little bit funky about Max Clark, he does something. You go, well, all right, okay. So yeah, like he hit that huge 2-run homer to the opposite field, and it was, yeah, he caught a fastball up and above the zone and just went with it and drove it out over the wall to the left. I'm like, well, I didn't know he had that. Like,
had a little bit of Riley Green look to that swing too. I mean, he really like dipped in there and
good call there.
Pushed it the opposite way.
I feel like he's just gonna be working on his swing for a couple of years. Like I like the skills are there. I believe the bat to ball skills are there. The eye is there. Everything else is there. It's just going to be, I think he's going to be fine tuning his swing for a while, for whatever reason. Whereas McGonagall is just like,
yeah,
the swing is there. He's ready.
Yeah, McGonagall's kind of like Keith. It's just like a really short, you know, barreled directly to the ball, no matter where it is, swing. Like he's just on it.
Yeah. And he's more aggressive. Oddly enough, he's more aggressive than Clark. Clark will take a lot of strikes right down the plate, like the middle. McGonagall swings at like basically everything that's in the zone. He's going to swing it and hit it hard if he can, but he won't chase a lot. So it's that's more like Colt Keith's approach too. Colt Keith loves to swing in the zone and doesn't chase a ton. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's been cool to see Max like just going oppo a ton. Like he does a lot of different things. Like he's not the kind of player where you just keep seeing the same type of ABs over and over. He's trying to he might be trying to do too many different things. Mm-hmm. But he's impressive. I mean, you can see the confidence in him as well, which, you know, might lead him astray here and there. But, you know, I don't know. I've been pretty impressed. I mean, I kind of have similar issues with just like the length of the swing sometimes. And I don't know. He just gets real flat sometimes in weird ways and disconnected. But he's 18. Like, I don't get all worried about it. It might just be, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes because you don't know what he thought he was going to get, what he was looking for. That can lead to a funky swing now and again. But I think as he gets stronger, that swing will get more compact as well.
Yeah. And I will say one of the things that has impressed me about Clark so far this year is that a lot of times when runners are in scoring position, I feel like that's when you have the ability to kind of square up the ball nicely and do something where he can get the fundamental stuff, just kind of getting the runner over or scoring the run like that. And so I think that's one thing about Clark that stood out.
I mean, he and McGonagall both play winning baseball. Like they're not playing their own baseball, like trying to be the best prospect they can be. They are really pretty good about, you know, reading the situation and trying to do what's required in it already, which is pretty cool to see. I'm sure AJ Hinch likes that when he sees clips.
Yeah, I mean, in Utah, we saw that, you know, the big two-out, two-run homer to left. Clark also had a big two-out RBI single on the infield. Beat it out because he's very fast. So, like, there's you know, all the tools are there. Like I said, it's just going to take a little while for the swing to get in order. But, like, he's 19 for 20 in steals. McGonagall's 13 for 14 in steals. Like, these kids are running wild and playing well, and it's fun.
And they're having a good time. And, yes, Clark has plenty of extra base power. It's a little bit more about whether or not he has, like, 20, 25 home run power. Like physically, probably yes. Will he get to it? We'll see.
So Christian Santana has been found and he's back in the FSL.
I'm glad he's all right.
We had the milk carton out last week.
Yeah.
It's interesting. They're playing him like he's doing a rehab stint, even though it wasn't like he was never on the IL. He's like he's getting 2 or 3 at bats and then they're replacing him. So I still don't really know what would happen there. I assume they were working with him on something, but mm-hmm. Yeah, he's alive, so that's good to see.
And he hit a dinger, of course.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Felix, who won player of the week for an impressive outing, 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs, a walk, and 10 strikeouts. Props to Stan, who sent that over. Stan sent that text to me earlier, and I'd never heard of the guy. And then we found out that he's 20 years old out of Mexico, and the Tigers don't really have a lot of Mexican prospects, I mean, in terms of like just pitching wise. Correct.
Yeah, or in general, yeah.
Paredes
is the only one I can really even think of who was notable the past couple of years.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's always hard to know. Like, it's rare to see a 16, 17, 18 year old pitcher in the DSL and the Tiger system. Like, so you never really know who's good down there, who isn't, because they're all older than you'd like expect. So he's kind of, we have to wait to find out what about their stuff really until they get to the stateside. But yeah, you know, it's also not uncommon for somebody to like dominate down there and then come up. I think Yosber Sanchez, I believe, started in the, maybe even Iker Uwizi, were starting in the DSL and then came to the FCL in the middle of the season. So
yeah,
you know, keep like, an eye on Eddie Felix, I guess.
Yeah, like they were pitching well and they just decided, okay, this one's ready.
That's nice. <sir.
laughs> Hello, my name is Franyerba Montilla.
Montilla.
I just think of Stan's, it's brilliant, or Montequilla from Butters from that. Adam wants to know if the Seals come in and make the playoffs, they have to have some luck.
They basically have to go 6-0 this week or 5-1 at the most, yeah, and have Akron lose, and who else is ahead of them? One other team's ahead of them right now. Unfortunate that we can, and Altoona probably did them in, which is a bummer because they're playing. I actually think they have the best run differential in their division, yeah, but for whatever reason that just didn't work out.
They lost Jackson Jobe, and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that would have helped.
Gabe Alvarez was probably like, hey, what about the rehab start here? I mean, he's fine. It wasn't an arm issue. His arm was fine.
Yeah, I mean, and they lost some player. I think Navigato began the year in Erie as well, right? Like, they lost some key teammates. So
Corey Joyce, who also hit the 60-day IL. We talked about this last week, or I think it was on Thursday. He has some sort of removal. He had, I think, something in his brain removed, I believe it was.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was like a blood issue or something like that caused a lesion on his brain that they were able to
remove. A rare blood disease or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it sounds like he's doing very well now, so that's good.
Jeez. That's scary.
But overall, I want to see Jonathan Rogers pitch, and that kind of leads into the last question of the night that
I've got video.
You do get video of him.
Oh, yeah, I'll put it up. It's been sitting on my phone for a while.
we also have video of the hamster from Saturday.
Yep, I'll get that up too.
So that was it. But so Nelly Ninja Bees had a question. Did you see that question you posted in there on Twitter, Chris?
Because I saw it was about who
Raj falls in love with a prospect. Brown falls in hate with prospects. My question is, who are the some prospects that Brown is higher on than Raj or other analysts?
I don't know, man.
Softball question for you at the end here, Chris. Take your time.
I don't think there's anybody I'm higher on than anyone. I don't know. Like I tend to be pretty negative about everybody. I mean, I think he's right about that. Not negative, but like, you know, it's very hard to be a good big leaguer. And I think sometimes we follow these guys and see them dominate in the minors and think that they can do it in the big leagues. And it's just not that easy. I don't know.
I'm higher on Troy Melton than probably both of you are. Maybe. Well, I don't know.
You know what? I was going through and looking at our individual rankings from the last time we did the update, and I had Melton 6th in the system, and Raj had him 11th.
Oh, okay. There's a good one.
But I haven't been that enthused with him so far in Erie. So it's like, but I do think there's some. I had Dingler 11th, and Raj had him 20th. Does that count? He's been around for so long.
That's a pretty big differential.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're.
To be fair, I think. I think I was waiting for the other shoe to drop with him because he'd do this for a couple weeks. And but I always like, all right, I still believe in the defense. I still think he's an effective catcher. But I was just unsure about the offense. But you know what?
And just to, you know, in interest of fairness, I had Campos 19th and Raj had him 10th. So it looks better there. I don't know. Like, there's nobody that I'm like super secret. Like, the guys that I'm high on are the young guys that we've been telling you about forever. Like, not forever, but for a couple weeks now. Like, I don't know if that's a secret, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about guys that are like
too many times.
There's been, if we're talking about guys that we like that
Jackson Holliday is cheeks.
Yeah, that cracked me up. As far as guys that are to me are like kind of like on the up and up, I guess, or like guys to look out for. For me, I this is one thing about me that's consistent. Until I see a player play a few times, I just cannot. You know, for example, you might look at a guy like Gregorio Estevez and look at his numbers and go, cool, but that I haven't seen the guy play, so how the hell would I know? I have to look. I have to kind of take a two or three games in. And something that in prospect evaluation, like a lot of times, even with fantasy baseball, the biggest thing you see right now, props to Mike Glover, friend of the show. Big, you know, he's a big fan of the show too. All these fantasy baseball podcasts get into numbers and get into, oh, you should be excited about that. That's great. And that, and they should. You're in an industry that you go into and pays money for like the future prospects. I get it. But for me, I've never been about that. Like I have to see a guy a couple times to make him some sort of evaluation. And I don't, if you're just scouting a scout, you know, no offense to the great Jay Markle. I mean, Jay Markle has done that a couple times and you know, that's his thing. I don't do that. And so, as far as like some of the international guys too, like I have to see it more. And so the reason why I'm saying this is because when I saw Vladimir, Chris was talking about him beforehand, and then I started watching him, like, okay, well, I can see why. I think it was the only one that put him on the list, right, Chris?
You are. Yeah, you had. Well, let's look. Yeah, there were some early on. There were some international players doing good things, and that's one that I will never. I unless the Tigers get like even the top international player, I probably won't put him on the top 30 list right away.
Yeah,
because that's like Javier Osorio was their big signing 2 years ago. Same class as Briseño and Mantilla and Gil or Heel. And he's in his third season in the DSL because he isn't very good at baseball. And you got to remember, these guys sometimes sign when they're 13 or 14. And things change drastically in those 2-3 years. So the guy that you give all the money to because he was awesome at 13, probably not your best prospect when he's 16. It's amazing that teams figure out how to get players at 13 and they turn out good. I'm amazed by it. But so like, yeah, that their big signing from the last class, I think it's Nestor Miranda. I don't think he's even played yet. I don't know what's going on there. He's not on the IL. And he was a year older. So like, I'm not putting him in the top 30. I have to wait for these guys to come stateside first.
I mean, I think what I'm hearing, and I'm the same way, is like you're guided by whether or not you have something to say. Like, if I haven't seen this guy, he's 19, he's 18, 19. I don't even know who he's playing against. If I can't tell you anything or bring anything to the table on it, I'm probably just going to, you know, okay, Eric Longenhagen says he's a this, you know, and I'll knock him down and leave it be. Because, yeah, you know, if there's nothing, you know, nothing standing out, if there's nothing you can say about it, then don't. Don't try to fudge it with the numbers. And
thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to BS anybody. I mean, bottom line is this. I mean, I don't want to write clickbait articles that say two or three guys that should be drafting to Detroit right now. I've seen that somewhere.
I mean, just get ready because we're almost to draft season and the amount of nonsense that comes out, like just, you know, everyone who wants to be a baseball writer will try to like sell someone to you or come up with some hot take. That we're getting into the silly season. This is when I start to just like recoil. I'm like, I'm just going to tunnel vision, do my work, watch the players I want to watch, you know, in the draft and, you know, in the farm system and kind of tunnel vision it for a month or two. I think for myself, like I can get out of whack if I focus too much on the farm system. If I'm watching these guys every day, it can be so hard to see, you know, the real changes and you start, you know, when you just become too minute with it. I think sometimes it's good to like not see a guy for like 2 weeks and then come back, you know, I'm like, okay, what are we looking at here again? Cause you know, you can just ride the roller coaster the same way a fan does with the Tigers and, you know, sound dumb one day. And then the next day you look better and you know, you're not actually contributing anything when you're covering it that way. At least for me, you guys are so like day to day and intense that's what would scare me, because I'm, you know, I'm just kind of watching the highlights every night, you know, skipping through a few starts or whatever, and I can't do more than that because I'll just get obsessed with all kinds of problems. Like every starting pitcher, I'll be trying to like, all right, how do I turn this guy into a reliever? You know, I just, you know, I can just get wrapped up in it, you know, too much.
Well, I mean, like this is the headline I was talking about: two Tigers that should be coming back to MLB roster. What a shutdown AAA. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And that's just a headline, you telling me that you don't watch baseball.
Sorry.
You know, no offense or anything, but no, it's,
you had an article to write.
You have an article to write. I get it. You're trying to get clicks. I get it. There's a difference between getting clicks. I'd rather have clicks that are quality over quantity. And that's what I've learned, honestly. Like if there's one thing I've learned from working at Woodward Sports is You can write good quality articles and get clicks. It is possible, ladies and gentlemen. It is totally possible. But
take some patience. But yeah, you just have to be consistent, and eventually, like, the people who want good content will find you. Eventually.
Yeah, that's honestly what it is. And like, it's no offense to my old site where I was full time at, but
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, that's what it is. You know, like, yeah. I run Bless You Boys, and you know, 80% of what we do is just daily coverage for people to hang out and talk about the team. Nothing special. I'd love to write more articles, but you know, it's just not where we're at right now. I'm just too busy. And like, so there's certain parts of the year where I block it out. Like, I'll write all my stuff then, I'll do tons of studying, but then I'm not going to just, you know, blast people with articles when they're just, you know, screaming with about the team. You're like, oh, which, you know, AAA shortstop could the Tigers get for a small? Yeah. No one wants to do that crap right now.
I'm done writing those articles. I've done those. I've done my time with those. And unless there's something that's actually practical, for example, as much as I was beating the horse with Joey Ortiz, that made sense though. I mean, in reality, even the
title,
I mean, the same thing with Tyler O'Neill a few years ago.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with coming up with something good, but yeah, you know, if you're just kind of fishing, cause you need to write an article, doesn't work out well.
Yeah. Any more questions, Chris, on that front?
I don't think so. I didn't see any more.
That was it for the Twitter questions. Yeah.
No. And like I said, it's just, as far as prospect, it was like I said, what's up?
Somebody asked if we have any idea when Briseño is going to be back, and the answer is no.
No, nothing yet.
Sorry. Knee injury could be probably at least, you know, a month at absolute best, probably more like three.
Probably also after that. What did you think, Brandon? Probably late July at this point.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, I and they have no motivation to hurry him. So, they're going to give him all the time in the world. Get that thing right. Don't mess with the knees, especially if you're still thinking of him as a catcher.
If you did him as a first baseman, that's even better, though.
Probably.
Nice to have Jackson Joe back tomorrow, or you know, today, or whenever you listen to this, even yesterday. Hopefully that goes well, and get another one of the top prospects going.
Yeah, and it'll be, like I said, it's the last week for Erie, the first half of the season, rather, and it'll start the second half. So a chance for the Seawolves. I think Lakeland, same thing. Or no, Lakeland's last week is next week, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's this week. I think they play three games this week that are part of the first half of the season, and I think the other three are the part of the second half.
It's so weird that it's not set up around the break and the futures game and all that stuff. It's pretty strange.
And then you know what, Sean? He just did mention it that he did ask us a question about one under the radar September call up player not on the national radar.
Yeah, that's what. Okay, thank you.
Kadar Montero for still not on the national radar.
Yeah.
Dang it!
You know who that is? I'll tell you who it is. That under the radar prospect that maybe not be is whoever they pick up in a trade at the deadline. I'll just say that. I think whoever they get will be somebody that will. That's who it might be. If I'm going really from the system itself under the radar. A guy who I think could be that's in the system right now. All right, I'm gonna take a stab in the dark on here. You know, I'm gonna continue to.
I got one.
You got one? Okay, so I'm gonna go with. Here's my guy. I'm gonna go with Jose Dixon. He's 17 years old, and he's 17. He's hitting well.
We're talking about a call up. September call up.
September call up. Okay. I'm going to go with Andrew Navigato.
Yeah, that's fair. I think they should have tried him now. Like, I just don't understand bringing Kreidler up when he's like missed so much time the last 2 years and then like has like 30 ABs this year. And they're like, plug him in there. You know, like, you might as well give Navigato a look. It's not like I don't have like eight other guys in the 40 man you could cut without, you know, shedding any tears. As for me, like, I think it's going to be someone like Lockhart. You know, I kind of feel like they might trade Holton. They might trade Chafin. Like, they might just kind of shed some of that bullpen and bring some of those guys up. So you might see someone like that come up later in the year. And maybe it is Poulong. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of not even a prospect, but like Easton Lucas or Sean Gunther or whatever. Just a left-handed reliever to see.
Just bring Sammons up and give him a decent paycheck for a couple weeks. You know, he's done good yeoman's work down there.
And he throws about eight different pitches. If you look, it was like, well, that's fun. Look at all those pitches.
Yeah, he's got a very Holton type vibe to him in a certain.
I like that Lockhart idea. I really like that. I think Lockhart has a good possibility. I mean, he's
Maybe that's Herter that they do that with.
Yeah, but, you know, Herter. I mean, yeah, I think Herter might be up before August or before September. I think Herter has a really good chance to be up in the next month or two.
Yeah, that's really a fair point. Yeah, because I think at some point, you know, Joey Wentz is going to have to finally be sent away.
Yeah, yeah, once and for all. Yeah. So as far as when they're putting last question of the night, and then we're going to off. When are going to put Kyler or Kyler? Wow, I almost put Ryan Kyler, Kyler Montero in the bullpen. He doesn't have the same velocity as Maya. Like, I don't think even if he aired it out, I don't think it's that.
He's not gonna be throwing 103. He might be able to touch 100 out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Either way, he's got two wicked breaking balls. It's more about just commanding like two pitches at a time. He's kind of like Reese Olson in a certain way with a better fastball, but similar problem. Like, can't just carve people up with the fastball and locate it. And so he just ends up needing lots of pitches and dumping all kinds of breaking balls in there. And eventually there's a hanger and someone kills that and there's a walk, you know. Yeah. It's like impressive stuff intermittently and also still pretty erratic. So,
by the way, we did get a couple donations. So,
oh, thank you.
Off the Frickers building.
Whoa,
exquisite.
Yeah. I don't know. I forgot about that one that the.
I like that.
So thank you. We got a couple of days on PayPal, so we really appreciate it. So we're out of here. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday as the Tigers have greener pastures lying ahead as they take on the White Sox, and we're going to have some fun. Rago, but watch what will happen. The White Sox will somehow sweep the Tigers. Even at 1954, it will something, some weird fluky magic will happen. Some White Sox
pitcher, the Phillies. You know.
Yeah, and it'll be the Phillies. So thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. And also, thank you for everybody. We were a top 100 podcast last week again. So second week in a row that we were in the top 100 among all baseball podcasts. So thank you so much. Thank you for all the questions. Thank you for the super chats or for donating. And Thursday we'll be back with Youper. And no Mike this week as he's, I think, going to some sort of concert. Mike
Gauvier.
We'll be joining us on the pregame draft show at 6 o'clock. Him, Youper, and Mike. So we'll have a pair of mics. And I know Brandon, we'll have to figure out how we're going to put you in the draft stuff. But I figure we'll have you like on for a few minutes because
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure. Yeah, maybe we'll have you over. Actually, we should have you over.
I could do it live because that's like, you know, the draft is one of the things that my staff actually does get stoked about. So I've got Adam and Jay and David Rosenberg and some people who can handle the write ups and stuff like that. So we'll see how it goes.
You have a grill, Chris?
A grill?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I was asking so I could actually bring meat over and actually grill. Yeah. You know what I could do? Actually, you know what we could do?
Empanada.
Draft show? We have the show outside, right? By the patio and the pool. I could be grilling while the game, while the draft is going on.
In a chef's hat.
A chef's hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course, if your wife is cool with that and all that.
Yeah, no, we could do it outside.
Made with the camera crew into Chris's backyard.
The only thing.
Like, what are you doing? What's going on back there?
The only concern about doing it out by the pool is that the Wi-Fi might not be quite as strong. But other than that,
If the people want me to dive in the pool, I'll do it. But I don't, I think I'm getting too old for that at this point.
Cannonball if they pick someone we like. Yeah.
Or no, if they don't like somebody, it's belly flop right in there, and I'll take the punishment for it. But until Thursday, guys, have a good week, everybody.
You're gonna be reminded of this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.